listening to a podcast from Victory.
We are starting a brand new series entitled Stable and Sure. At ang pag-uusapan po natin dito is Jesus as the Cornerstone. Ano? Ito po ay two-part mini-series. Ibig sabihin, 2 weeks po this February and another 2 weeks in July. Ano? And so let us read our text for today, and we will be reading from Mark 12, okay, verses 1 to 12. The parable of the tenants. And he began to speak to them in parables. And a man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the winepress and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruits of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat and some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to arrest him, but feared the people, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them, so they left him and went away. Let's just pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, what you are speaking to us through your word. Lord, help us, Lord, that we will build our lives, Lord, not on tradition, not on our possession, not on people, but on you and on you alone, Jesus, our cornerstone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. No? Nung sinimulan po natin ano, yung ating Every Nation building, ano, and so makikita niyo po yan sa inyong screen. Okay? In VGC, nung 2022, okay, phase 1, tinayo po natin yung phase 1 ng building natin. At nung 2014, okay, ang phase 2, tayo po ay nagkaroon ng groundbreaking ceremony kung saan po si Pastor Steve, okay, our founding pastor, isinulat po niya sa wet cement, okay, na parte po ng foundation ng ating building ang isang Bible verse. No? Okay? At ang Bible verse po na yan ay Matthew 28:18-20. Okay? And bakit po niya sinulat yun, ano? That serve as a reminder that the reason we build our training facility as a movement is to train leaders and missionaries who would make disciples of all nations. And so that block of cement with the written Bible verse on it serve as the foundation stone, the standard, okay, the reference point, but which all activities in the building would emerge out from. Okay? At kaya nga po tayo magkakaroon ng Every Nation Seminary. No? Our heart is to make disciples of all nations, and we need to train and send more workers in the harvest field. That's what a cornerstone is all about. Where two significant primary walls would be connected to, and all other parts of the building are oriented toward that stone, the cornerstone. Historically po, no, yung cornerstone was the most important part of any building. Okay? The total weight of a structure rested on this particular stone, which if removed, would collapse. Okay? It would collapse the whole structure. And so the cornerstone was also the key to keeping the wall straight. Okay? It makes all the construction areas align, okay, and measure correctly. And that's why yung cornerstone po, it became a symbol for that which held life together. No? Kaya po kapag sinasabi po natin na si Jesus ang ating cornerstone, okay, it means we rest our security on Him, we put our trust on Him, We put our entire lives on Him. We allow Jesus to guide us and give direction in our lives through His words, because Jesus is our measuring guide to a straight path. And so Jesus as the cornerstone means that He is the foundation of our lives, that if Jesus is removed or we reject Jesus in our lives, guess what? Our lives would collapse. Diba? Ganun po ka-importante that we build and establish and align our lives on Jesus, our cornerstone. Why? Because not doing so, kapag hindi po natin yung ginawa, no, the result will be very, very detrimental. It's very destructive. We will go astray, no? Mawawala po sa hulog, no? What sa sukat, okay? Mawawala sa sukat ang ating buhay. Okay, and our path will end up in destruction, as we would see in the parable, no? As we have seen in the parable that we've read, no? And so just to give us a background ng parable na binasa po natin, no? The parable that we read was taught by Jesus to confront the religious leaders of His time, no? The scribes, the chief priests, and the elders came to Him, okay, as Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem. And so this was already during the Passion Week. Okay, katatapos lang po ng triumphal entry where many people spread, okay, their clothes, they lay down branches, and they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." And the religious leaders took note of this because Jesus was becoming more and more popular. He already have a great following. And then the day after, Jesus went back to Jerusalem. He entered and cleansed the temple. Jesus drove out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over tables, okay, of the money changers and chairs of those selling doves, no? He stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace, no? Ito po yung sinabi ni Jesus, that my temple will be called the house of prayer for all nations, but you turned it into dens of thieves or robbers. And so, kaya po, galit na galit si Jesus dito, no? But then, this event had caused the religious leaders once again, who profited greatly from the businesses, okay, that was conducted in the temple, to look for a way to discredit, to destroy, and they began planning how to kill Jesus. Again, Jesus went back, okay, in the temple, at ano pong ginawa nila? They began to question His authority. Okay, and part of the response of Jesus was this parable. No, ito po yung isa sa mga sinabi niya sa kanila, no? And He began to speak to them in parables. Okay? And normally, kapag yung parable po sinasabi ni Jesus, normally meron po siyang hidden meaning, ano? But for this particular parable, okay, alam po ng kanyang target audience, the leaders and the scribes and the chief priests, okay, and the elders, they know that Jesus was referring to them. Malalaman po natin mamaya, no? Kaya po, medyo kakaiba po, no, yung parable na to, no? And so He told them a parable, and sinabi po niya to that a man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the wine press and built a tower and leased it to the tenants and went into another country, no? And so, when Jesus said a man planted a vineyard, the religious leaders would have known that He was talking about God's planting of His own vineyard, Israel, as referred in Isaiah 5. No? Alam po nila na kapag sinabing vineyard, it basically refers to them as a country, as a nation, that they are the Lord's vineyard. And it's been mentioned in a whole lot of books in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah. And so, planting a vineyard is a hard work. No? It requires planning. It requires perseverance. Clearing the land of stones, no? Particularly, okay, Israel, that's a very stony place. Ang dami pong mga bato dyan, ano? And yet, this man, the owner, the landlord, did everything possible to make preparation for the fruitfulness of his vineyard, no? Ano pong ginawa niya? He put a fence around it para mag-establish po ng boundary, okay? For protection, to keep the wild animals out, okay? That would eat the grapes or destroy the vineyard itself. Ano pong ginawa niya pa? He dug a pit for the wine press. Bakit po niya ginawa? Because he's expecting a harvest and fruit juice coming from the vineyard. Okay, yung wine press po, dyan po nila pinapress yung mga grapes, okay? So that they will be able to capture the juice, store it, so that it will become a wine. Okay, ano po yung ginawa ng landowner? Build a tower to guard and care for the vineyard, to watch out for the thieves or wild animals. And so the man did everything possible so the vineyard will be fruitful, no? And kung titignan po natin to, no, this gives us a picture of God's love and care for Israel. Of how God raised up and brought Israel out of Egypt, make them a nation while they were wandering in the desert, okay, protecting them, providing for them, and then planted them in the promised land in Canaan, okay, where they took root and flourished. And God provided for them their own land. He nurtured them through His word. He protected them from there and spoke to them, okay, and given His words. Kaya nga po, no, sabi sa Isaiah 5 verse 4, what more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done? And so God was all out in caring and protecting for His vineyard. Tapos ano pong ginawa niya, no? Then lease it to the tenants. Okay, pinagkatiwala po niya ito sa mga magsasaka, no? Pinaupahan po niya ito, okay, sa mga tao na marunong tumingin, no, ng vineyard, tenant farmers who would know how to produce a good harvest. And once everything was in place, siguro nagkontrata sila, paano arrangement nila sa hatian ng kanilang mga profit ng harvest, ano pong ginawa ng may-ari, he went into another country. Okay? And trusting the vineyard to the tenants and fully expecting that all that he had graciously prepared for the vineyard would put to good use. And so, the landowner has every right to get and receive a portion of his share of the harvest, of the profit from the vineyard. Tama po ba? Why? Kasi siya po yung may-ari. Siya po yung nagtanim ng vineyard. Siya po yung naghirap. Siya po yung namuhunan. Siya po yung landowner, no? And this was a common practice in those days. At naghahati po sila ng kanilang mga profit, ng mga harvest. And so, verse 2, when the season came, okay, he sent a servant to the tenant to get from them some of the fruits of the harvest of the vineyard. And so, normal na practice po yan. Natural lamang po na kapag time of harvest na, okay, papupuntahin na niya yung kanyang mga servant so that they will be able to have some share of the harvest of the vineyard. But then, verse 3, ito po yung ginawa ng mga tenant, no? And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed, no? Grabe po yung ginawa ng mga tenant sa servant. Binugbog po at pinaalis ng walang dala, no? Umalis po ng luhaan, no? Yung servant. And this was such a wicked behavior. They have been given this tremendous opportunity, this employment and privilege to care and share in the vineyard. Pero kasamaan po ang isinukle nila sa landowner. And then verse 4 says, again, the landowner sent to them another servant. No? Ano na naman po yung ginawa ng mga tenant? And they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. Again, this was a very outrageous behavior. And the listeners, okay, particularly the elders, the chief priest, okay, the scribes, the self-righteous legalistic leaders, okay, would be buzzing with each other and said, who would do such a thing? What kind of people are these tenants? Di ba mga walang utang na loob sa kabutihan na pinakita at pinagkaloob sa kanila ng landowner? Di ba maiitim ang budhi nila, no? And so kung marinig mo rin to, di ba magagalit ka? Grabe, bakit naman ganito nila tratuhin yung landowner? At ganito pa yung ginawa nila sa mga servant. And then verse 5, and he sent another. And him they killed. Tapos hindi pa daw po doon natatapos. And so with many others, some they beat and some they killed. And now of course, the people are starting to say, whoa, wait. Yung ugali ng mga tenant, wicked talaga. Outrageous, bizarre, hindi normal. Okay, yung behavior nila, they were such a wicked people. Pero yung patuloy na magpapadala, yung landowner ng servant, and they have been beaten, struck on the head, some killed. Now we have to question the sanity of the landowner. Diba, okay lang ba siya? Hindi na ba siya natuto? Why send more servants? Send an army and deal with those wicked tenants. What is going on here on this story? But then Jesus says in verse 6, he had one more left. He had still one other. And this time, it's not anymore a servant, a beloved son. Not just any other son, but a well-loved son. Grabe, no? And so finally, he sent him to them saying, they will respect my son. the listeners must have been saying, "Whoa, please no, do not send the son. You know what will happen to your son, to your beloved son? He will be killed. He will be killed, no? And so if you were the landowner, will you send your son? But if you were the landowner, will you send your son, your only beloved son?" Verse 7 says, "But those tenants said to one another, 'This is the heir.'" Siguro yung isang tenant, nakatayo po sa tower, no, nagbabantay, tapos nakita niya, parating na yung anak kay the beloved son. At sinabi niya, "This is the heir. They planned. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. Just a shocking turn of events. Planned against the son, the heir, thinking that if they will kill him, probably they were also thinking, patay na siguro yung landowner. Kapag napatay natin tong anak na to, okay, this vineyard will be ours. Grabe po, no? Ganun po yung ginawa ng mga tenant, no? Not only to the servant, but to the only beloved son. And again, this parable is designed to speak to the religious leaders of Israel. They have been entrusted with the spiritual well-being of the nation. They were the tenants in the parable. And time again, they led the nation of Israel astray. God the Father, the landowner, sent them his servants, judges, prophets, and other men of God to lead them back to the right path. But each time God sent a servant, Israel refused to hear his message. Some were beaten, some were killed, but all were sent away empty-handed. Israel rejected prophet after prophet, culminating in the death of John the Baptist. Yet God kept on sending them his men and his message. Grabe po, no? What a grace and patience from God, no? And finally, okay, God the Father, out of his infinite grace, love, and mercy, he sent his only beloved son, Jesus, but they rejected him and killed him too. You see, God time and time again appealed through his prophet, even through his one and only son, to an unrepentant people. Grabe, no? Dito po talaga natin makikita how patient God is to us, no? Kaya po sabi sa 2 Peter 3:9, he is being patient for your sake, no? For our sake daw po, no? He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. In the message, it says, he's restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end. Because he doesn't want anyone lost, he's giving everyone space and time to change. Diba, tinatanong natin kanina, bakit padala ng servant kahit binubugbog, sinasaktan, pinapatay? Bakit pinadala yung kaisa-isang anak kahit na alam niya na maaari itong patayin? Why? Because God doesn't want everyone to be destroyed. God is giving people time and space to repent and be saved. What a loving God we have. But you see, the parable didn't end there. Jesus asked them the question, what will the owner of the vineyard do? Diba, ano na ngayon yung gagawin ng owner ng vineyard? What will the landlord do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. What will you do if you're the landowner? Well, by the Old Testament law, capital punishment po yan. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. This is a multiple count of assault and murder. In fact, no, in a parallel account, no, when Jesus asked that question, what will the landowner do to the servant? Sinagot po ito nung mga listeners, no? Matthew 21:41 says, they said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death. He will put those wretches to a wretched end, no? Yun po yung sinagot nila. Alam po nila kung ano yung dapat and legally na pwedeng gawin po ng landowner. And so the chief priests, the scribes, the elders were completely glued into the story. Bring those wicked tenants to justice. Ipapatay ang mga yan. Kaya nang kakilakilabot na paraan. Ito po yung kanilang kasagutan sa tanong ni Jesus. And I think it is after they answered the question that they realized, wait, oh no, Jesus is talking about us and our history of how we dealt with God's prophets and servant. Kaya po, in another parallel account, Luke 20 verse 16 says, He will come and utterly put an end to those tenants and He will give the vineyard to others. And when they, okay, the chief priest, the scribes, and the elder heard this, they said, may it never be. May it never be. Noong una, they were happy with what the landowner will do. Execute those wicked servants. And when they begin to realize that this was about them, and that they pronounced judgment and condemnation on themselves, they said, no, no. No, may it never be. They don't want to be judged nor be destroyed. But then you see, the Lord of the vineyard was left with no choice. He had tried to work with the tenants time and time again, but they refused to listen. They rejected his servants. They rejected his only beloved son and killed him. Now the landowner will come and reject the tenants. He will come and rot and destroy those wicked tenants. And to end the parable, Jesus quoted a verse in Psalm 118, which was on the mind of these people because it was being sung during this time of the Passover week, no? And so, Mark 12 verse 10 says, have you not read this scripture? Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You see, they knew this is a messianic psalm. And they also knew that the stone here refers to the Messiah. Okay? This was happening before their eyes, and yet the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders hardened their hearts. Jesus was a threat to their power. Jesus was a threat to their position. Jesus was a threat to their influence, okay, to their tradition. They wanted to build something different from what God was building. They wanted to build their own kingdom and rule their own kingdom. The Jewish leaders look at Jesus and decided he was not fit to be the cornerstone. In their eyes, he did not have the right pedigree, the right education, the right credentials. He's a carpenter's son. He came from Bethlehem. Is something good that would come out from Bethlehem? You see, Jesus simply did not meet their expectations. He did not meet their mold, so they rejected him. But as the prophecy said, but God has chosen Jesus as the cornerstone upon which he would build his church and his people. Yes, he will die, but he will be resurrected from the dead and bring salvation to the world. And what was the response of the leaders? Okay, what was the response? Verse 12. And they were seeking to arrest him, but feared the people. For they perceive, okay, they've discerned that he had told the parable against them. So they left him and went away. Grabe, nakakalungkot po ito, no? They were already cut to the heart, convicted, okay, by the Lord. But they responded to this conviction, okay, by the Holy Spirit, not by receiving the word of Christ, but rejecting who Christ is. They feared the people. They didn't fear the right person. Who should they fear? They should have feared God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. I mean, they knew the consequences of rejecting Jesus, the cornerstone. But then instead of receiving him, They rejected him. They left him, went away. And you know what they do? Exactly what the prophecy was said. They plotted to murder Jesus instead of repenting before him. Sabi po ni Charles Spurgeon, no? Nothing remains when Christ is refused. No one else can be sent. Heaven itself contains no further messenger. If Christ be rejected, hope is rejected. If Christ be rejected, hope be rejected. Because they rejected the God of grace, they would have to face the God of wrath. They made their choice and they would have to live with the consequences. And the same is true in our lives. You see, when Matthew recorded this parable, he added this verse, no? Matthew 21:44. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. You see, it all comes down to this. Either we will fall on Jesus and be broken in conviction, repentance, and salvation, or he will fall on us and be crushed to pieces. We either humble ourselves, bow our knees, recognize who Jesus is, repent of our rebellion, and become recipients of his saving grace, or choose to harden our hearts, maintain our rebellion against his right rule over our lives, and he will fall on us. And in that fall, he will crush us. You see, there's no escape from this. All of us, all the people that we know, no matter who we are and no matter who they are, we must deal with Jesus Christ and his all-encompassing demand of lordship. And we only have two responses to Jesus as our cornerstone. We either receive or reject Jesus as our cornerstone. We would either receive him, recognize him for who he is, or reject Jesus as our cornerstone. You see, salvation is promised to those who will receive Jesus, but destruction to those who will reject him. You see, what a sovereign reminder for all of us to make Jesus as our cornerstone and to proclaim Jesus as the cornerstone, the only stable and sure foundation of our lives. Amen. Why build our lives on Jesus, the cornerstone? Again, Spurgeon says, if you reject Jesus, he answers with tears. If you wound Jesus, he bleeds our cleansing. If you kill Jesus, he dies to redeem. If you bury Jesus, he rises again to bring us resurrection. Jesus is love manifest. You see, the rejection of Jesus, his humiliation, his suffering and crucifixion was a tragedy in our eyes. But God's purpose for it was greater than we could ever imagine. You see, in a great reversal, God take that which was rejected and despised by men and uses it to save and redeem people back to himself. And this can only be explained by what is said in Mark 12:10-11. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And this was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You see, I believe God is calling us to continually put our faith and trust on Jesus as our cornerstone. Because in Christ, we have a firm foundation. He is stable and sure. Storms of life would come, difficulties would come, but when we are standing on the solid rock, on Jesus as our cornerstone, our lives will also be stable and sure. But then if we would reject Jesus as our cornerstone, then our lives will collapse. Let's just pray right now. Lord, thank you. And Lord, would you help us? Lord, that we would continually build our lives on you. Not on experiences, not on tradition, not on a person, not on our own selfish ambition, not on temporal possession, but on you and on you alone, Jesus. Lord, we pray that we will continue to build our lives in obedience to your word. Lord, that if there's any form of rebellion, any form of darkness in our lives, in our hearts, Lord, we're coming to you today. Lord, would you break us? But even as you break us, Lord, would you heal us and deliver us? And Lord, would you make us whole again? Lord, we repent at times. Lord, that we choose to live on our own strength, on our own ability, Lord. That we choose to measure our Christianity based on what we can do for you rather than what you have done for us. But yet today, Lord, Lord, we are committing our lives once again to you. Lord, be the Lord and be the master of our lives, Lord. Would you rule and reign in our lives? Lord, help us to continually align ourselves to your will, to your promises, and to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to pray for just one group of people. If you're here, and even as you are hearing this message, and you know that Jesus is not yet the Lord and the master of your life. You have not yet received Jesus. Probably you have been rejecting him. You have been running away from him. I believe this is the day for you. God is calling you. God has been convicting you. Would you please not run away, but would you humble yourself and ask God, Lord, I need you. Lord, I am receiving you today. Jesus, be the cornerstone of my life. If you're that person, would you please pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you. Lord, that you have died for my sin, that you willingly give up your life for me. Lord, that you were rejected so that I will be accepted. And so, Lord, today I lay down my life. Lord, I lay down to you my sins. And Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you cleanse me? Would you make me whole? Lord, would you help me to live this life founded on you and on you alone? Lord, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray that prayer, pwede po bang maglagay po kayo ng prayer emoji? Okay, signifying that you have accepted and received the Lord Jesus Christ. And our pastors, staff, campus missionaries, and leaders will contact you to explain to you more about the decision that you have made. Again, let's continue to have Jesus as our cornerstone. But let's not just enjoy Jesus. Let's proclaim Jesus to other people. The world needs to hear that God is for them, not against them, that they have someone whom that they could lean on even in the difficult moments of our lives, and that is Jesus, the cornerstone, and he is stable and sure. Amen? Let me just speak a blessing to all of us as we end our service. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord look with favor towards you and grant you peace. Would you go out with a blessing and be a blessing to other people as well? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. See you again next week.
you for listening. We hope you were encouraged by the message. For more podcasts and updates, visit victory.org.ph or download the Victory app. You may also give through our website and share your prayer requests and answered prayers with us there.